Hi, folks. Welcome to the next edition of Serverless Crack. With myself, Dave Anderson. I'm an author and contributor to Serverless Edge and technical fellow at Bizarre Voice.
Mark McCann, architect at Globalization Partners and author and contributor at Serverless Edge.
Hey, everyone. Michael O'Reilly, architect, contributor with Serverless Edge.
So the author part that we keep talking about is we have written a book called The Value Flywheel Effect with which is getting published by IT Revolution Press in November 22. And so we thought it might be worth having a chat about the contents of the book. And really the book is based around this concept called the value flywheel, which I will share now. So we figured we kind of just talk about that a wee bit. So there it is shared. If you're listening to this audio only, sorry, we'll talk to it. So this is the whole idea of the value flywheel, and the value flywheel effect is something that we have painfully discovered over many years of working. Is things really start to work well when you join the business and technology strategy, and we kind of we've come up with this model to describe how you do that in the company. And the whole, it's obviously Jim Collins has got this idea of the flywheel effect, and we started to notice this happening. And the whole concept is around value. Is are we clear on value as we're doing our work? And there's a very much a marriage between the two things. Reflecting now, what do you think on the concept of value flywheel?
I think it works really well. I think it really captures all the things we've been sort of struggling to articulate over the last sort of 10, 15 years of our career. But you know, the things that you need to put in place, the techniques that you need to leverage, the mindset that you need to bring to bring out the value, right? We've all been sort of iterating and evolving towards this type of concept, and I think it really distills down and captures all the things we've been sort of working towards. So I think it's a great diagram. It's a great distillation of all the things we've been holding dear for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's certainly a difficult concept to try and, you know, illustrate and describe, and you know, and I think we tried to distill it down into this, you know, this flywheel. You know, and I think it's the thing behind it is, you know, it's incremental, you know, so you're meant to be continuously going around the flywheel, building up the momentum, you know, like moving faster, more efficiently, to wherever it is you're trying to go. So it's,
yeah.
You know,
it's not like you spend. I was asked one time, why is it a flywheel and not like a linear thing?
Yeah,
and it's like, no, you keep going around it. It's not like you spend 1 year going around it and then you're done.
Yeah,
you continually go around it, because when you go around it once, it'll kind of change. So again, for anyone just listening, there's four phases in the value flywheel effect, and flywheel effect is very is intentional, because a flywheel builds momentum as things get faster.
Yeah.
Phase one is clarity of purpose. Phase two is challenge. Phase three is next best action. And phase four is long-term value. So we figured we'll deep dive into these in a different episode, but for now we just relatively quickly go around them. So first phase is clarity of purpose. And maybe let's talk about getting this working in a company. So how would you kind of describe clarity of purpose?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things most organizations don't have a problem with is enthusiasm about what to be doing and what we could be doing and what is the right thing to be doing. And sometimes, you know, clarity of purpose is a very difficult thing to establish. So for me, like, clarity of purpose always, again, we talk about like the business and IT, you said at the start of the chat there, Dave. It's like, what is our mission? What is it? How do we add most value? You know, what is it we want to do? You know, and there's lots of different ways of going about that to establish clarity of purpose. Does everybody understand it? You know, is everyone bought into that? So I think the first phase is super important. So in organizations, you know, how do you prioritize? You know, how do you make a decision around what we should do over something else? You know, so really, how do we establish like that clarity of purpose?
Yeah, I think it's getting that alignment as well, and trying to even clarify what your clarity of purpose is, or what your North Star is, or what your key sort of input metrics are, they're very valuable conversations, and they'll not be perfect, but they spark really good thoughts and really good conversations with people and teams. And it doesn't need to be perfect. It just needs to start getting some alignment and getting people pointing in the right direction together.
Yeah, it's all over limit. I mean, there's two interesting things that it's not. I always find funny. It's not what your boss says.
No.
Your boss should tell you that or explain what the clarity of purpose is, but they may not. So it's not to blindly follow what your boss says. And you hope your boss is helping clarify what clarity of purpose is. And then the second thing I always think is interesting for an engineer or a developer. Your purpose is not the right code.
No.
You know, you don't come to work the right code. You know, you come to work the achieve that clarity of purpose that the team and the company have, and you may do that by writing code. But writing code is not your job. Writing code is like, you know, whatever that your company does or your team does. And it's quite a subtle thing, but I'm sure we've always met developers in the past who you're just, if they're writing code, they're happy and they're productive. And you're like, no, that's not why you're here.
Yeah, and I think the goal is for whether you're an engineer or a leader or a manager or wherever in the org, you know, what are you working on? How does it align to the value that you're delivering to the company? How does it align to the company mission? How does it, you know, deliver an impact? Just answering those questions is usually a very worthwhile endeavor for any individual or team, just to understand, you know, are the things that you're doing actually going to have an impact or not?
Mm. And then the second phase, challenge, sits well with that. And these first two are very much linked to the business strategy. And challenge is not to argue with the clarity of purpose. Is once you're clear on the clarity of purpose, it's then what do we do to achieve that? And that's where you want a healthy environment where there's challenge that you can actually, and it's not challenge like have a fight with someone. It's challenge the thinking, challenge the ideas.
Yeah. And again, it's a form of verification really, isn't it? So like, you know, we've decided these are priorities. These are things that we're talking around, but you know, what's the best way to go about it? Let's have a conversation around that. Let's look at the landscape. Let's evaluate our position. Let's see, you know, are we being realistic? So there's lots of good kind of conversation and rationale that goes into this phase, which is super important.
Yeah, and it's also about, do we have an environment that invites challenge? You know, you want to make sure that there's the socio-technical systems are set up that challenge is invited and it's not punished, right? So
that's the whole diversity thing as well. Is like, are people getting a chance to challenge, to your point, Mark? Like, you know, are we bringing in the experts? Who should we be talking to? Who are the voices?
And that's where worldly mapping is such a powerful technique, because you're challenging the idea, not the person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? You're not challenging the individual telling the story, you're challenging the approach. That's all healthy and psychological safety, etc. The third phase is next best action. And this is really that sort of, you know, bias for action is what can you do very quickly to prove your direction? And this is where a lot of the serverless type stuff comes in. I think he's one, and this is getting more kind of technical now.
Yeah, and I think it's the term that Mike used a lot, is your rate of turn. How quickly can you make change? How quickly can you get change into the hands of real users and customers? How quickly can you have an impact?
Yeah, no, I you know, speaking with Mark, sounds like really when you get, you know, like sometimes in business you can have good priorities, we can have, you know, we've challenged, we know what we want to do, but then it can kind of get locked up in technical bureaucracy, or you know, what is the quickest path to getting something in front of a customer? You know, are we being efficient about it? Are we being effective about it? And again, we've done tons of podcasts around, you know, why we're such big fans of the serverless kind of paradigm and sort of side of things. So it's, you know, how do we get to there? What's the next best thing we can do to actually action what we've talked about there in relation to challenge and clarity of purpose?
Yeah, and it's removing those impediments to fast flow, really. It's, you know, how quickly can we get an idea from anybody into the hands of real users to get validated feedback? You know, what are the blockers? What can we do to improve that? What can we do to remove those inertia barriers? Is critical.
Yeah, and I think this is one that will drive a lot of transformation within organizations as well. You know, like, so when you've got that, you know, when you mix this with things like Dora and getting stuff out quick, realize you've got to make changes and embrace like the modern cloud and serverless and all that sort of thing. So it's a very important phase for the organization to embrace. So it's, you know, we go into that in the book, which is great. So
yeah, like the cloud part of this is massive, is that, you know, if you've got a really urgent business problem, you don't want to be off doing really, really low level stuff that you're never going to get to it. Like, how can you make progress that quickly?
Yeah.
And then the fourth phase is long-term value. And this is a funny one, but it's really about bringing in those architectural kind of standards and the sustainability standards. And it's like, how can you make sure you're not building basically poor quality product, which won't, you know, last the business.
Yeah, I think this is so critical. It's how can you go fast, but without burdening yourself with lots of technical debt? You know, how can you go fast in a sustainable pace? You know, how can you deliver a well-architected sort of solution and capabilities that, you know, enable the flywheel to turn faster later? It doesn't just, you know, clog everything up and slow you down.
Yeah, super important phase.
And then the funny thing is that once you get to that, then you're back into clarity purpose again, and it keeps going. What we've certainly found is, say, something like some of the things in some of these phases, each time you go through them, you get better at them. It's not like you keep revisiting, keep improving. So there's a constant kind of evolutionary improvement type thing going on there as well, continuous improvement.
Yeah,
and I think it's kind of nice.
Yeah, and I think on that theme, you know, as you turn around, go through the flywheel, as the flywheel starts turning, you create more space for innovation and more space for emerging value. And I think, you know, as you're, you know, putting these building blocks in place and getting this flywheel to turn, you will start to spot where you should invest next. What is the next best action? What is the right thing to do for long-term value? So it becomes a real good muscle that you can exercise.
It's also healthy that we continually talk about these things, you know, as you bring this to life in your company, you know, which means you're not sort of shifting the goalposts, etc.
Yeah,
because I love that making space for innovation type concept, you know, and I think that's something where, you know, a lot of the best, well-run, sort of most mature organizations in this space, they're so good at that. It's this sort of process they've got going, this flywheel. Yep. It really does create that. So.
Very good. So that's the crack. That's the value flywheel. So I'm thinking that we kind of go through each of those phases in a bit more detail in future episodes. But that's the crack for now. So give us a follow on the at Serverless Edge on Twitter or at theserverlessedge.com or blog and more updates. And thanks very much. Thanks for listening and watching.
Cheers. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.